Previously on Compassion Radio.
It's the least awarded badge in the military, and it's the only badge in the military that can be revoked even after you're out of the military.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
What do you think of when you hear the following? Honor, sacrifice, love of country. Hello and welcome to the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that takes you to the front lines of faith. On today's Compassion Radio, we continue the conversation we started yesterday with a fascinating new friend who has quite the story to tell from his time in the Army, a story that dovetails perfectly with this month's Bibles for Military project. Here's Bram to reintroduce today's honored guest.
We're back for a second date with Ethan Morse. Now, he's a media guy now, but God led him through a interesting, twisting kind of military career, because he's the generation that was deeply influenced by 9/11. We talked on yesterday's program about the powerful pull on his life to serve and honor his country. And the word honor became important because God chose him in a way to honor the fallen of this country away from the battlefront. Now, you thought you were going a number of times, but God kept bringing you back around to the honor guard. So tell us again briefly how you ended up on the honor guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Well, after being in a casket team stationed at Arlington National Cemetery for 13 months, I was able to finally volunteer to go down to the tomb. And the tomb was a separate, you know, platoon, just kind of set apart from everybody else. And there was all these wild stories of, you don't want to go down there. It's really hard. Nobody can make it. Oh, so-and-so tried. He failed, you know. And after 13 months, I realized that I needed to go. I needed to volunteer. So I did, and my platoon sergeant gave me his blessing. Not that I needed it, but it helps when they can do the paperwork for you. And he filled out the paperwork, and they sent me down. And I did a two-week initiation, like, training. It's called TDY. And after the 2 weeks, if you pass, they offer you a spot at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And that's when you really start training. It's the least awarded badge in the military, and it's the only badge in the military that can be revoked even after you're out of the military. It is a representation of our nation. And
a lifetime of honor as well. So
yes,
your lifetime gives testament to what you've been through and what you've honored this country with. And you're still under the call of honor, even as you sit across the table from us now as a retired serviceman.
Yes. And that's the weird thing about the place. And that's where there's a lot of then myths that go around, and emails and chains and viral, you know, posts on Facebook and Twitter, because people are, oh, well, that badge can be revoked. And we as tomb guards barely can wrap our heads around it. Yeah. I've had like four or five friends who've had their badges revoked.
Seriously?
Yes. It's a very political job, a post. And sometimes it's their own knuckleheadness, and it's something that they do to that messed up. But one of my friends was over in Germany. He was a staff sergeant, and one of his soldiers drank too much, and he needed to drive that soldier home. Well, him driving that soldier home put my sergeant friend late in getting back home to barracks. So he received an Article 15, which is the lowest level Army discipline. Because he's a man of honor, he let the Pentagon know, oh, hello, I just received an Article 15. And they ended up revoking his badge.
And that was enough.
It was enough. Now, we all petitioned, and I'm happy to say that as of today, he just got it back after a year and a half.
Interesting.
Because they realized that it was literally wrong. So first it took his chain of command, revoke it, flipping over the Article 15 disciplinary reaction. And they were like, oh, we're sorry about that. We didn't know it would ruin your career. So little things like that can happen. That
so doing really, the honorable thing had its consequences.
Yes.
It was restored, but still a dicey thing, because your whole life's reputation is on the line here.
Yeah.
And the reputation of the U.S. military and our country's honor is at stake with the way you would live going forward.
Yep.
So tell us about it. You got on the podium for the first time.
Yeah, so the training takes months before you're even good enough to go outside and guard. And the Army allowed us to go back and film a lot of this training, because we realize so many people who have lost loved ones want to know, like, how are their loved ones being honored? Mm. So the training, you first have to learn how to, you know, strip your uniform, shine your shoes. All of these things literally take months. I was bad at shining my shoes, and I would work on them for about 8 hours a day. Well, sometimes if you're working incorrectly, you're just making more work for yourself. And I was just literally waking up with pounding headaches, could barely concentrate trying to shine my shoes. I would bring my shoes to the Bible studies that I was going to midweek, and I'd be falling asleep during the Bible study shining my shoes. Hmm. And no one wanted to wake me because they knew I'd poured literally 40, 50, 60 hours into that pair. And they were afraid if they woke me and I would like smudge it or something. Hmm. So they were just like, do we let him sleep? Does he need to keep working on that? You know, we're talking, and I could fall asleep while they were talking.
Now, somebody who's outside this experience would say that's kind of silly or obsessive.
It is definitely viewed as obsessive, and my wife will tell you that I am obsessive. What it is it's a desire deep in the hearts of a tomb guard. There's kind of like a twofold reason. One, that when we go out the door to honor and guard a memory, some unidentified bodies that represent thousands of unknowns. These are guys and girls who were literally just blown apart in service of our country, and there is nothing left. Yeah. That their family members, who maybe are there visiting, will see, wow, those are the best soldiers in the Army, and they're honoring my loved one. And the second reason is that 5 million people a year go there and take pictures, and it's very easy to become kind of egotistical, and that it's about me, it's about me. Well, when you shine your shoes for 75 hours and you've never even been outside, you start weeding out the people that say it's just about me. Some of them still get through there, but the tomb really tries very hard to emphasize the fact that it's not about us. It is about the unknowns. It's about the heroes that we're honoring. So, and those little menial tasks are ways to just kind of sift through that. So after months of practice and then at months of overnight hours, that's a 24-hour shift, and the new guys do all the night hours. So everybody switches off, and they're 2 hours at a shift. So I would usually do about 4 hours a night, 2 hours on, 2 hours off, then 2 hours on in my full Blues uniform practicing, because also the training is designed to, if you can do 2 hours and then your body's strong and looking good, then you can definitely do the summer half hour or the winter 1 hour walks during the day. So after about 3 or 4 months, I earned my first walk outside. And my hands were shaking the whole time. And they'll put you out at like 8 a.m. You know, maybe there's 5 visitors there in the cemetery. And I knew that they could see all my mistakes. Mm-hmm. And my hands were slipping and my heel clicks were shaky and everything. I knew it wasn't perfect. And that takes another couple months to get over that rush that, wow, people are taking my picture and at this, you know, their nation's most sacred shrine.
And you're representing all of us.
All of us. Yeah. Now you're into 6 months of training, 7 months, and all throughout this time you're taking increasingly harder tests. So there's 5 tests that you have to take, and you can fail them, but you can only fail them once. So if you fail a test, you'll retest it within 2 weeks, and then if you fail it again, you're kicked out from the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I did fail test 4, actually, the first time. And this would have been, I'd been there for 6 months, and I was just exhausted, worked, you know, literally to the bone. And I failed, and my sergeant, who actually was later killed in Afghanistan, Sergeant Adam Dickmeyer, a Christian, pulled me aside and was like, you know, Morse, you know, let's talk about how you failed, what you failed. And I remember I was just sobbing, you know, because I realized, like, within 2 weeks, I had to retrain, and I knew I'd given it all I had. Oh. And I was like, I can't improve. I've done everything, and I can't improve in 2 weeks, you know? And he said, let me help you. You failed in these 3 areas, and one was my shoes. He said, when do you shine your shoes? I was like, well, it's the hardest thing for me to do, so I shine them last, you know? And he said,
shine them first.
Exactly. Yeah. It's simple. You know, did I mention I'm a country boy? So he was like, Ethan, start shining them first when you're as fresh as you can. And then everything else that you're already good at, you can whip out in the last hour, 2 hours that you're working on your off day. These are on your off days after working 24 hours. And just that wisdom. And then he also then, throughout the next week, showed me a couple other pointers and helped me with that. And I was able to then pass the next test.
What is it like for you to be mentored by a believer and someone who you now know laid down his life for this country.
It was not only humbling, sometimes it was a little unnerving. Mm-hmm. While going through training a couple of times, we're there for 24 hours, and you know, we had a full squad of men, and he ended up pulling me aside and was like, "Morris, let's go to church." And it was like, okay, you know, we went down to Capitol Hill Baptist Church, you know, together. And it was just like, I'm sitting there thinking like, this is my sergeant. This is the guy that's over me. And here we are shoulder to shoulder in church, you know. And for him, I think it was, you know, normal. And for me, it was still like, well, this is the guy that I have to, you know, say yes, sergeant, no, sergeant. So it was very encouraging. And then he definitely, once I got my badge, and he was known as just being one of the best tomb guards in my era, very strong outside, which is something that we wanted the public to see. You want people to see strength out on the plaza. He was killed. I got out of the Army in 2006. He was killed in 2010 in Afghanistan, and he actually laid down his life for his men. They were attacked, and he saved his men. So it's an honor to have worked under him and know him. And then through that, and maybe I'm jumping ahead of the story, but we ended up making the documentary, and we tried to honor him in that documentary.
And we'll get back to that in just a minute. I want to spend just a second here just to relish in that image of you sitting shoulder to shoulder in the pews together as equals in the kingdom, and that you're honoring your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by your participation and worship together, honoring the true leader of the faith.
Amen.
And the one who really gives true hope to those who serve and gives real meaning to those who lay down their lives. So I don't want to miss that opportunity to remind our listeners that we honor those who serve us because we have the example in Jesus, and we have a kingdom that's very much alive, and you have the hope of knowing this brother in the life to come.
Yes.
That's a great hope.
Yep.
Ethan, thanks again for joining us for this Compassion Radio program. We've talked a lot about how you got to where you are, and God led you through a lot of wild and crazy turns, but he kept bringing you back around to a dream that he put in your heart when you were a little boy, to honor those who have served. And now you're standing at the highest pinnacle of honor that this nation offers. We have this military. You're standing in front of the tomb of the unknown soldier, and you're perfecting those clicks. The turns are getting precise. Everything about you is turned out, and it's no longer about your nervousness or being aware of yourself. You've gone into a place, a zone in your own being, where it's not about you anymore. It's a flow-through of honor. And people can see that because they're seeing through you to the people that you are serving. What happened next? What was it like for you to live that life?
Extremely hard. It's a hard duty station. It's one that destroys bodies. Mm. Walking out in steel-plated shoes on Granite Plaza for 18 months, standing at rigid attention. It's one that hurts. And it's a blur. It really is a blur. The training was all-encompassing, and then the work was all-encompassing. And after the 18 months, I knew that, well, I'd set out to join the Army for 3 years, and I'd worked on a movie before the Army. I want to make movies, and I want to go out to California. My producing partner and good friend and the director of my documentary was also serving at the tomb, and he actually filmed my last walk. And we have footage of him saying, you know, this is, you know, director Neil Shrudetsky filming Ethan Morse, one of many. And so that was already in our hearts. And I came out to California and ended up going to community college, same place that Jim went, Fullerton College. And then I know we all have gone on. I transferred on to Biola University. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn how to make entertainment and movies. Mm-hmm. And after Biola,
What year did you graduate from Biola?
Graduation is an interesting word.
What year did you leave Biola?
I left there in 2012. So I was there for about 3 years. Yep. And loved every minute of it. I've got some Spanish credits kind of looming over my head. but anyways, that being said, I decided that the Society of the Honor Guard asked if I could film some sort of memorial to Adam Dickmeyer, who had been killed in Afghanistan a couple of years prior. And I and my producing partner, Neil Shrudetsky, we know how. We both went to film school. He went to ASU, both on our GI Bill, and we thought we could make actually a documentary about this. Mm. So we worked very hard. We had a Kickstarter, and Biola lent me all their film equipment. So it's a Biola production. And flew it to the East Coast, which they don't like it traveling. And they were like, oh, we don't like it traveling, but we'll let you. You know, it's a miracle that they even did.
How do you say no to a Tomb of the Unknown Soldier guard?
That's what I was hoping.
Plus, I can only imagine that you had the unique way to get access because you were a sentinel.
That is exactly right, Jim. That is why the Army allowed us to go back. Now, they've allowed National Geographic to film there. It's in the Army's interest to have the good, positive news and stories out about the Army, but they gave us unrestricted access with the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you know, and which was cool is somehow we landed CIA clearance so that we could film with President Obama at the time, you know, and we get emails from people like, why did you include him? And it's like, we worked so hard to get the CIA clearance, we have to. Yeah. So, and back to the honor. We wanted to honor the position of the office, and it's such an honor. So we filmed a Memorial Day 2012 is when we filmed.
Okay.
And then from there, we were editing. We had 700 hours of footage that we had to edit down to 84 minutes. Hmm. And it took years while working full-time jobs in the industry out here in Hollywood.
What came out of that documentary? We talked about the emergent properties of art. Hmm. When you got it done, what flowered from that that you were not expecting?
I would say, first off, I have to give it to my friend, Neil, who really worked very hard. He was injured and ended up not earning his tomb badge. Mm. That was a weird feeling for him not to have that. Mm. And he felt like, well, you know what? I can show the world that I was a tomb guard and that I honored the fallen as well. And he'll, you know, make the movie The Unknowns. So with that dedication, he's the one that actually edited. And I would just go over and end up telling him, no, we should change this here, take out that, add this. He'd be like, what do you think of this? And we're definitely a team. But his focus on that got it through. And what we've created, what we're told, is something that every American should see, because it brings home not only the training cycle or whatever, but we tried to show why the tomb guards even do it. And what weighed heavy on our minds is it's been almost 100 years since World War I. There are no veterans from World War I currently alive. So World War II, all of those veterans are in their 90s. Mm-hmm. They will be soon. There will be none left. And how can we show a grade schooler, how can we show a high schooler that we're our country, our safety, our freedom of religion is all built upon a foundation of sacrifice that is actually 100 years old, 80 years old, you know, 120 years old. So that's what we wanted to capture in the movie and show that honor and kind of inspire some patriotism in the future generations. And we're surprised that it seems that it's doing just that.
The name of the documentary is?
The Unknowns.
Wow. The Unknowns. And how are people able to access this film?
You know, if you're flying Delta anytime soon, it's on available for free in flight entertainment. And then it's on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. And then the best place, and if you go to Arlington, it's in the gift shop there. We're trying to get in all the national parks, the cemeteries and museums. But the best place is just go to our website. That's where I will personally mail it to you. Mm-hmm. And it's on theunknownsmovie.com. So
theunknownsmovie.com.
Yes, sir.
And I also know that you can pop onto YouTube and there is kind of a trailer that people can see, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have an extended trailer that came out because we were trying to, you know, in distributing it, which takes years and or I should say months, and it took us years to get out there. We released a trailer in like 2014 and it went semi-viral for us, almost a million views. And we don't even know where the views came from. They just kind of were circled around because there's a national interest in, again, the tomb and how we honor our nation's fallen. So if you just look up The Unknowns trailer, it should pop up. And we have a couple out there and they're all kind of linked to each other. And they're also on our website as
Before we wrap it up today, let's circle back around to the reason we're talking about this. The need for real spiritual food, sustenance for our soldiers is real. Urgent is what I would say. We have lots of young men and women who are on the front lines even now, and this long, endless war, it seems, dealing with extremism, is not going to be gone in a year. We'll have another generation of young people coming up looking for meaning and purpose and finding out what they're made of by going to war and finding out the hard way what they don't have. And they'll discover their need for God. And it seemed like a pretty severe mercy, but sometimes God brings those events into our lives in order to bring us to Him. So what's happening for those that you've known that have come out of war? And of the new soldiers that are coming back, how are they being fed? Are they being reached? And speak to the importance of the Word of God and the mentorship of spiritual wisdom that comes from chaplains as you experience them in your military career. How do we pray for the soldiers that are currently enlisted and those who are coming home and trying to reintegrate?
That is the probably billion-dollar question, because there are 22 suicides a day of veterans. A lot of those are Korean and Vietnam veterans. About 3 or 4 a day are guys my age. Mm. And that's a horrific number, and that's a horrific percentage from any group of people. And nobody knows how to stop it. Now, we as Christians know it's Jesus. You know, in the name of Jesus can bring healing and can heal the wounds that war has inflicted. The hard part is in our society, we have so many talking heads and so many distractions that I don't know how to get Jesus to them, these hurting veterans. And I think we definitely need to be praying. There seems to be among my friends and even myself, I know I have huge amounts of survivor's guilt, and I'd even go to war. Yeah. It's not even survivor's guilt like, oh, well, you know, they were killed and I wasn't. My sergeant was killed, you know, literally. And people will say, well, lucky you didn't go to war. Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute, I joined for that. Like, yeah. I still want to go. And I'm working with the National Guard right now. Like, there's a desire in my heart to serve in that capacity. And I think that if we just be careful that we're not just flippant with, hey, thanks for your service. Right. And that's the easiest thing. And I would say if you know somebody, probably just to even let them know, I'm praying for you and I love you or God loves you, some way that we can actually, you know, verbally encourage them. Of course, the word of the Lord will never return void. And I know that you guys have partnered with a lot of different nonprofits to try to get more Bibles into the hands of soldiers, Marines, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard. And I think that's very important. And what I personally am trying to do is I'm trying to figure out more ways to create future movies that'll convey, because I think that's kind of the language of the times. We live in an entertainment culture.
We have a visual idiom now, too, which is kind of ironic for us to say on the radio.
Yes.
we have to create a video of the mind by the way we talk, the way we share. I really believe that people who have listened to what you've had to say in the past couple of days have gotten their mind in that focus. They're seeing you walk across that podium and in front of the tomb. They're seeing the training you're going through, or you polishing your shoes. And their metaphor is for something that's happening deep in your soul, that you're literally opening yourself up to a perfection that it's not of yourself. There's no way you're going to ever be able to earn or be fully honorable in every way in your own power. But there's something about the honor of just knowing you're a child of God and that Jesus has your soul for eternity. That gives you hope to be, hopefully, honoring those who have sacrificed even more than you.
Yeah.
And it's a great honor, I would think, for any follower of Jesus to honor those who lay their lives down literally for their country. And we know that Jesus is the most honorable of us ever, because God himself came to honor us in our fallen state with his own life, and willing to take on this shame and have all of his honor stripped from him in order to honor us. Our tomb of sin, he was willing to sacrifice his life for, to guard our souls and bring them free from hell. All kinds of levels here. I think a storytelling could be drawn out of that. But I do honor you for giving a part of your life, a huge part, that very few men or women will ever have the opportunity to ever do. And your badge number, again, is?
Badge number 548.
548 is a very special number to you, and now because of your story, it's an important and special number to us. Thank you, Ethan Morse, for your sacrifice so far, and I believe there's going to be much more sacrifice and God-honoring life coming out of you in the years to come as you pursue the opportunity to bring that redemptive worldview and storytelling skill to bear to witness to the truth in the years to come. We look forward to many more important works from you in the years to come. But the one we're focused on now is The Unknowns, available on most of the online streaming outlets. Look for that and for the trailers on YouTube as well. Ethan, Jim, thanks for being here with us in studio today.
It's definitely my honor, Bram. Jim, thank you for having me in today.
We're winding down here with the last days of our Bibles for Military project. Would you please consider sending a one-time gift of $30, $50, maybe $100 or more to honor our military? We became aware that although the military says it provides access to Bibles, often the unit budget does not allow enough purchases to meet the needs of all the soldiers. They come in a trim size with a durable simulated leather binding that makes them easy to use in the field. Each Bible can be delivered into the hands of a seeker for $20. Please give today. Our soldiers need the strength and hope contained in God's Word. With your gift of $20 or more to the Ministry of Compassion Radio this month, we will send you, at your request, either a lapel pin or car magnet, reminding you and others to pray for our troops. Call us with your gift today to 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can give securely online at CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And that toll-free phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.